Yeah, okay, good. Okay, then let me call the meeting to order and Sarah, do you want to, let's see, call the roll, please?
I'm actually gonna have Elijah call the roll.
Oh my God, you're kidding. Then before Elijah, then does, and correct my memory, Elijah has not been introduced to this group, has he? No, he's not. Okay.
Just by
well, you, but... okay. Well then before we even call roll, Elijah is a new staff member at the Village of River Forest. He's been with us for 2-3 weeks or longer.
Yeah, almost a month now.
About 3 weeks, yes. So there's good news and bad news, where good news is Elijah's new with the village and he's going to be joining us in staffing our age-friendly committee group. The bad news is Sarah is going to sort of, there's an overlap. She'll be with us for a month or two, meaning today, this month and next month. So the bad news is she's going to be leaving our group because she's going to be transitioning still with good news in the village, but she's going to be working another, and I'll let Sarah give the good news on that. But so I welcome Elijah. And so for this month and next month, we'll have the both of them. But it's for this overlap and transition. So that's it. So welcome with that. Then Elijah, if you can call the roll.
Okay. It is 6:05 and I'm going to call the meeting to order.
Okay.
Do the roll call. Chairperson Vasquez.
Here.
Commissioner Lauber.
Here.
Commissioner Frederick.
Here.
Commissioner Flanagan.
Here.
Commissioner Manning.
Here.
Commissioner Mural.
Here.
Mural.
Mural.
Commissioner Kwan.
Oh, Helen, you are on mute. So if you can just briefly unmute and say you're here. I see.
I'm here, and I didn't know that we were called commissioners. Have we been, our status risen?
No.
Or is that what we're called?
we're committee members. We haven't
raised the status, that one to Elijah.
But okay. That's okay.
I like it though.
Well, yeah, Elijah promoted all of you. That's,
thank you, Elijah. Thank you.
That's good. Okay. So thank you. And Elijah, don't worry. We're a fun group. So you'll enjoy. I think you will enjoy working with us. So I'm going to. And Sarah.
Most of the time we behave ourselves.
Yeah, most of the time we do. and Sarah, that we've been happy, of course, with all of your help throughout this whole process. We know where we can find you anyway if we need you. So you're not totally going to get away, but we're happy you're still staying with the village. I don't know if you want to tell people where you're heading to. I didn't want to spoil your surprise, but.
So I'll just be in the Public Works and Development Services Department. So I'll be staffing the Sustainability Commission.
Okay. Okay.
I moved about 20 feet over in the office, so I'm still nearby. I'm
still there. So Elijah, you know where to find her if you need her. So so that. Okay. So thank you for that. I'm looking at the monitor. So do we have anybody who requested public comment or submitted public comments?
No public comment.
Okay. Okay, then the first action item are the approval of the last month's meeting minutes. I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes.
Don't move.
Okay, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, Barbara. Okay, roll call. Elijah, if you want to roll call on the vote. For the approval of the minutes.
Okay, we're going to roll call.
Yes.
Committee member Lauber.
Yes.
Committee member Frederick.
Yes.
Committee member Flanagan.
Yes.
Committee member Manning.
Yes.
Committee member Mural.
Yes.
Committee member Kwan.
Yes.
Chairperson Vasquez.
Yes. So thank you. Then I'm looking at the time. And so I was going to ask, you know, and I know Lydia, if you have, I know, updates. So if you can briefly do the updates, what you may have. So
yes, we finally have a training on the books for businesses and organizations for Dementia Friendly River Forest. So I sent out a blast to the action team. Sarah, I think I copied you. Rez, I copied you.
Yes.
I may have neglected to include other folks from different committees, but I trust that's where it's the information's where it is needed now. The training will be November 15th at 10:30 a.m. at the Sheridan of River Forest, which is at 800 North Harlem on the corner of Harlem and Chicago. So a box lunch will be served and provided, and we'll go through the training. And then at the completion of the training, people will be asked, obviously, to identify their domain or their sector in terms of what business or organization they represent. And they'll be given a certificate, asked to sign an agreement in good faith that they'll take the best practices back into their places of business. And then we'll be provided a decal that says Dementia Aware River Forest that they can showcase in their place of business. So people are welcome to attend. I think our RSVP list as of today is 11 people. The Sheridan, they were supposed to blast it out through the chamber. I am no longer an affiliate of the Chamber of Commerce, so I don't know if that went out. Hopefully it did. But yeah, so that's my update with Dementia Friendly River Forest.
And Lydia, it was sent out through, I'm sorry, Russ.
No, I was gonna ask you if you knew. Go ahead.
It was sent out to all the businesses that okay. We have their email addresses for. So
perfect. Thank you, Sarah. I greatly appreciate it.
And nonprofits.
Thank you.
Okay. So thank you for that. And Lydia, you already answered the question, which is where can we all go? Do we need to register?
It would be nice. There is okay. a Google form. I know some people are having difficulty with it. It likes it if you have a Gmail. It just seems to not like it if you don't. It's fine. If you can't register, just shoot me an email and I'll add you to the list.
Okay, that sounds terrific. And is this what we were referring to back as the ambassador program and some sort, or no?
Similarly, I think we have okay. the Purple Angel program
okay.
will become Purple Angels. It's a similar okay. type model.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Does any member have any questions for Lydia on that? So no, kudos on that. I'm really happy to see that things are getting back and there's movement on initiative. So thank you for that. I don't have any update from the age-friendly collaborative from the MMC. I do want to touch upon and ask Sarah if she can give us, or Elijah, I'm so used to looking left, on the update of the survey mailings and what has gone out, whatever has been received, you know.
Sure. So I will give you an update on what we've done on the staff side, and then Elijah can provide an update about what's been received so far. So,
okay.
Barbara stopped in a few weeks ago, and we went over the random samples. We have a total of 335 individuals in the sample, and then the number of individuals in each age range are proportionate, to the percentages that Dan provided using the American Community Survey data. So the week of October 25th, the initial letter went out, sort of that pre-survey letter. And then the week of November 1st, so last week, a letter plus the survey went out, and that did include the pre-stamped envelope. And then this week, we will work on getting the postcard reminders out. One consideration I had is, do we want to maybe move that to next week, just to give people a week to kind of reply, or should we still stay to that original schedule of this week?
I'd suggest giving them more time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next week then instead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Any, and thank you. I want to thank Barb too, because she met with Sarah at, based on the last meeting, to look at the sample and address that. So thank you very much, Barbara, for doing that. Does anybody have any questions on the survey and the mailings, et cetera? Because if not, at least from Sarah, we still have to hear from Elijah and give us an update on how are the responses that are coming, et cetera.
I have a question.
Sure.
Are they sent out with first class stamps, or were they sent out as bulk mail?
I guess I'm not entirely sure if I know what the difference is, honestly, but it, it has the correct weight on it. So it is a pre-stamp, like a an ink stamp, not like a physical stamp, if that's what you mean.
Okay. Yeah. Might want to do the future ones with a physical stamp, because that's known to increase response rates. People are less likely to throw it out because they don't think it's junk mail. That's all.
I'll take that under consideration. Okay. Thank you, Dan.
Okay. Any other questions for Sarah's side of the report? If not, then Elijah, your side of the report in terms of the survey responses, where a status on that so far?
So we had 13 survey responses online survey responses through SurveyMonkey, and we had the village received 7 physical survey responses, and 8 were returned as undeliverable. So that's what we have so far.
I have a question. Do we want to, and Barbara, particularly for you, do we want to, with those that were undeliverable, replace them with 8 other people, add them to the sample, replace them?
I would say typically you do not do that.
Okay.
That's just the kind of data you report. That's the luck of the draw. That's what the randomization is.
Will that be the total then, do you think, of the undeliverable, or those 8 that you've received, Elijah? Do you think that's it?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
So that should be the total of undeliverable. You would know by now that it's a total of 8.
I think we would hope so, in terms of like the getting through the USPS system. I would think that we would start to see the that first letter that went out, those returns would come back by now.
Okay.
But some of them are getting forwarded to people at, you know, their new address or something like that. So
let me amend what I said. In terms of being really strict with randomization, you don't replace them, but we have so many qualifications that we're not very strict, really. I mean, you know, so if we want to get, you know, the full that we might be able to get out of the 335, we could do that. I mean, it corrupts it some, but I think that there's a lot of things that are already more informal than the formalized survey would be. So, you know, that's, I'm saying both things, you know, it's.
Well, Barbara, let me ask you this question in terms of, I understand what you just said, but is it something, should we be, and this is a question, should we, for example, there's currently 8 that got returned. Should we choose another 8? Should we wait until a specific number like 15 or 20? I'm just asking a question. I'm not proposing that. You know, I don't know. I'm just asking because
I don't know, because I don't know guidance for doing such a thing.
Okay.
You know, ultimately, this is kind of the slippery slope towards the end, that we don't get enough answers that we want altogether, because these are just typical of, you know, no response, basically. And we never talked about if we didn't get a high enough response that we don't want, are we going to send more out? Are we going to do another round? I mean, that's what it leads to.
I think we
unfortunately eight isn't a lot, you know, especially if you're thinking of unanswered, you know, surveys.
From my experience doing a mailing to about 500 people a year and a half ago in River Forest, using voter registration lists, those rejected, those that were not forwarded or no longer deliverable, they kept coming in 3 weeks afterwards, but the most of them came in during the first 2 weeks. So that hopefully will help. Are the ones that have been returned, were they from, you know, you stratified it a little bit and had certain categories, age categories, so the sample reflected the village. Are they from any particular, do they skew towards any particular age category that we might be losing on?
You know, I don't think we have that information ready right now, but we can look into that and report back.
Yeah, because I would think that if it's skewing towards a particular age category, and I'm thinking particularly the eldest age category, it might be prudent to replace them. But I think it's got to be yours and Elijah's call.
I see Jim, you raised your hand.
I was wondering, Barbara, if you had any idea of what percentage you thought would be a good return rate at the end of the day based on the sample size.
I mean, I think we've been going under Dan's hope for 60, 65%. You know, when Sarah and Elijah and I got together, you know, the sample that we could have done would have been greater than 335 in order to get 300, you know, in order to get 65% of that 335 or whatever. And we, you know, that was just too many people to send to. So that's where I'm saying there's been all kinds of qualifications that we've done. So I don't know. I'm hoping that Dan's right, that we'll get 65%. I think that would be great.
Yeah. Well, all I can tell you is this technique generally gets even more than that. They've had them with 85 and 90% with this exact technique, but you just never know. But we're doing the three surveys, so that should get it up there. I think with Naperville, we actually only did two surveys because of financial reasons. I do have, if anyone wants it, I purchased a PDF of the latest edition of Don Dillman's book on all this. It was updated a few years ago. And if anybody wants a copy of that, let me know. We'll figure out a way to get you so you can download it and have your own copy. It's a searchable PDF. And it's 400 pages. He's very concise.
Just in following up, Jim, with what you're asking, the 335 is the number that would be a good representative sample, you know, that would stand as a good representative sample for the population that we're dealing with. Okay, so the fewer that we get from 335, the less representative it gets. That's what we need to look at.
Thank you.
Which is why when Sarah and Elijah and I got together to get to that 335, you probably have to send out like 500 or something, you know, but I mean, anything that we bring back is going to be news to the village, right? And it's going to be a good survey and good response.
And Sarah, I was going to ask you the question, or Sarah, Elijah, whoever, for the eight that we got back, was the eight, were you able to identify whether the eight, well, was the eight from the first letter or the eight was from the second letter or a combination of both?
So it was sort of a timing issue where the bulk of the returns came back after we already had already sent out the letter plus the survey, which is fine. But so it kind of both, I guess.
Okay.
So I would expect that those surveys will also be returned.
Okay. And I was just trying to get to, I forgot who mentioned that usually any of the return mail will come within 2 weeks. So that's, I thought if it was these eight were from the first one, then that would have been a good sign that maybe we were not going to get too many more after mm-hmm. that. But
I agree.
Yeah.
But if it's a combination.
We were able to, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
We were able to pull, I think, just three out of the survey plus the letter mailing because we had already had some returns.
Okay. All right, then maybe you can keep track. Well, I'm sure you will keep track of the ones that come back. And maybe, I don't know, I'm just throwing this out and I'm asking Barbara and or Dan or the group, if we hit like 12, should we send out an alert and start maybe looking at other replacements, or should we wait till 20? What I'm trying to do is get some ideas so that we can react without waiting till the next board meeting to report. And then you might, you know, I want to avoid, if we're going to need to replace it, maybe we need to act sooner. That's all I'm trying to get at before the next meeting.
You know, if it's just 8, I don't think it's a serious problem. If it gets up to 15 or 16, we're looking at 5% of the sample.
Okay.
So I think you three should put your heads together with Barbara and
okay.
decide if it's worth it at this stage to send out new ones. My gut sense is, especially if they skew to a particular age group, is that there's nothing to lose.
Okay. Okay. Then Elijah and Sarah, let's look at the 15 as the trigger point for us to start really and see if we can already start identifying the current ones and as the new ones come in, what age group they are, so we would have that numbers. So when we hit 15, wherever age group we are, we'll talk to Barbara and then say, Barbara, what do you think? And then come up with something to react to, okay?
I think, you know, this is just kind of reinforcing what Dan had said with the age group, because, you know, I don't remember now, Sarah and Elijah, what the percentages were, but there were some big differences in those stratifications. And so like, if you're missing, if there is just like 10%, I don't know what this was, but let's say 10% of the group is that elderly one, and all 7 of those are in that group, what that does is it lessens your chance for being able to say confidently that 55% of these people said this, and we can count on that. And so the smaller the group, the more important it is to beef it up with population, I think. So I think that you know, knowing where those, you know, returns stand in terms of our stratifications, I think is probably the first step.
We can let you probably know by the end of the week then what that looks like.
Yeah, 85 and over was just 2.1% of our sample. 75 to 84 was 4%. So those would be concerning.
Okay, then let's...
Or I could have it... No, I'm sorry. It's 6.9% of 55 and older. And for the 85 and older, 6.9% of the 55 and older group. 75 to 84 is 13%. 65 to 74 is 35%. And the other two age groups were 20% or more. So it's those two oldest groups that would be of the greatest concern, I would imagine.
Okay. All right, then let's, Sarah then and Elijah, let's keep track and give an update on where we're at with the numbers or percentages of returned. Based on the groupings for maybe Friday you're looking at. Let's see where we're at in that. And we could share that with Barbara and then see what potential impact there is in terms of decisions. So, and we could do this maybe on a weekly basis or until, you know, if the numbers start increasing, then it'll be before the end of the week or so. But let's keep tabs on that.
Yeah, the numbers are on page 6 of our packet.
Okay.
And then page 7, I guess, is how you guys were able to break down the, just page 6 is.
Okay.
I think it.
Okay. All right, any other questions on this aspect of it? If not, we wanna definitely hit the old business discussion regarding survey analysis. So Let's move on that issue, on that topic. I know we talked about how we're going to approach the survey analysis and then looking at possible consultants to do that. So what we'd like to do is we're not going to solve it today, but we want to, unless you have some ideas already, but if not, we want to submit it. What we're looking to is, well, the village is going to issue an RFP for a consultant to help us do the survey. What we're going to need is developing the scope of services for what the consultant is going to be looking or doing for part of that. And that's why I'm going to need some help from you guys as to what the scope of services should be, how should it be described. And I'm, you know, we're welcome some thoughts now. I'm not, but I also think that if you guys have samples, if you guys want to submit something, then maybe we can start submitting those ideas to Elijah, Sarah. They can collect them, put it in some comprehensive document for us to review and vote and give some direction at the next month's meeting. You know, we're anticipating that we're probably on the good side or on the optimistic side, get all the surveys in at the end of December. On the neutral side, probably I'm thinking January. So I'm looking at, you know, having, hopefully, if we can complete this RFP in our next meeting, at least the scope of services, we can then get it out, hopefully get some responses back for our January meeting, and then get some direction on that, on how to, you know, that's what I'm looking at. So that's the time frame, I think, if we all agree. So that's the information. And I saw Lydia, you were raising your hand. So I'm sorry. I thought you were. Okay. All right. So so that's what we're looking for, but we welcome ideas from everybody on the approach on how to do this. And of course, Sarah and Elijah, you guys are putting your hands into this. So I don't know if I left something out. You're welcome to participate and ask it questions or what else, what other information you can provide to the committee on how to pursue this.
Well, I think one of the things we'll be asking the consultant to do is cross tabulations of the data. I guess the key thing is figuring out what we need to have cross tabulated, which may not be real obvious at this stage. I think the consultant might actually be able to help us a bit on deciding what to do it with. But I think a lot may have to do with age, and a lot may have to do with, you might want to know the answers to how the answers to the other questions break down by people's ages, and maybe by if they're comfortable, though, those who say they're really comfortable affording their housing costs and those that aren't, and also by the type of home they live in, and maybe by the type of home they want to move to. But I think certainly by the type of home they live in now might be a relevant thing. So I guess we'll all have to just go through the survey and see what would be useful information that would be able to inform village policy. It's something that they can do. That doesn't make it easy, I know, but it's
going
to take some thought. We're going to have to do some thinking.
Okay.
Well, I think part of our job as the committee is to identify some overarching research questions that we want to have answered, right? And I think that'll help shape the RFP then that we generate to ask a consultant to do that for us. I think given the way that, I mean, how we constructed the survey, we're definitely going to want basic descriptive statistics, right? Who responded, what age categories are they, and what's the percentage, all of that good stuff. You know, your usual suspects, age, gender, race, ethnicity. And then I would imagine, right, like if we think about what we were charged to find out as a committee, we really want to understand how, like, what are the perceptions or what are the interests or the identified needs and desires of people who are aging in the village around age-friendly and age-friendliness. And I would imagine that given we coupled it or broke it out into domains, we're going to see saturation. I use qualitative terms, but I think we should be able to articulate what are the three or four most important areas that residents have identified. And then from there, I think, Dan, to your point, we can start to cross tab and figure out, okay, if it's, I would imagine housing and housing accessibility and affordability is going to rank. It always does. If you look at every other survey of age-friendly housing and transportation are up there. So unless we're an anomaly here, those might emerge as things that are really important. And then once we have the importance of the domains identified, then we can drill down and look at correlations between age groups and income. And, you know, I mean, it would be really interesting to look at age versus length of stay people imagining or people are thinking about staying in the village, you know. So I think we can think about what's going to emerge and then more about what we really want to know.
Sounds good.
And then I think from there, we could ask, you know, we could articulate to the consultant the types of analysis that we want to have run, whether or not we want raw data and the findings presented to us as strictly, you know, percentages and, I don't know, correlations, crosstabs, what have you, and then we do the analysis, or we want them to provide some insight into what they think the data are telling us. Maybe a little bit of both. But I think from there, then we can craft the, based on our findings, then what are the goals, what are the strategies, and then what are the action items that we can really present to the village in terms of getting things done. So I'm happy after, you know, vomiting all that to take the first cut at crafting an RFP. I don't know, Sarah and Elijah, if you've already done that. If not, I'm happy to take an initial stab at drafting it and then giving it to committee to edit.
Lydia, that meat of what you just said, I would not have used the word vomit, but I would say an overachieving description of what we need, and that's a great way to do it. But I think that part is what I think the staff, all the other, what I call the standard RFP language, I think the village staff can take care of that. But I think what you just said is the meat of the matter that I would like if you can take the first shot at that.
Yeah.
And then we put that in writing, and then we can set a very, and by the way, Lydia, thank you for volunteering to do that. But if there's anybody else who wants to throw some idea about what we should be looking or asking, please also send it in, and then we can incorporate it as a draft. And then like we did with the questions, hey, this sounds good. No, we need to mess up. We can look at that and then get some feedback to try to tighten it up in December. Barbara, go ahead. Yes.
I have a quick question. I loved what Lydia said. And I have a quick question in terms of scope, especially when you raise the issue of whether we get the raw data and we do the first cut analysis or whether it goes to a consultant. Are we asking a consultant to do data entry? Or will there be a spreadsheet that will be generated by other people or some kind of, you know, data files by other people? Those are two very different types of people, the data entry people and the consultant. And for a lot of those descriptive statistics, once you got those data entered, it's we can generate all those frequencies and percentages. And once we do that, we'll come up with much better idea of what questions we have because we begin to see trends and patterns, and then we can really have a kind of partnership conversation with a consultant. You know, so it's the question of, are we picturing saying, hi, consultant, here's surveys, do the data entry, do whatever you want with it. These are the questions we want answered. Or are we looking at stages where we begin to see some inklings of findings? And from there, we begin to have some questions that would be very well guided by someone who's a statistical expert and knows the kind of analyses they can run to find out answers to some of the harder questions.
If I recall correctly, the data entry needs to be coordinated with the expert consultant who will tell us how to code the answers to each question.
What do you mean by that? Because they're all Likert scale, almost all is Likert scale. Much 1 through 5 then.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
That's the kind of thing that once we see trends in the data, we can say, should we group the 2s and 3s and make that one category? Or should we group the 4s and 5s and make that one category? So we only now have 3 on our line. I mean, that's often done based on what findings are showing and how close those categories are. I mean, I guess I'm not sure what you mean by coding.
I'm trying to remember what he had us. Our Naperville survey was more complicated. Obviously, they weren't all on the same scale, but he had answers coded, thinking turned to 1s, 2s, 3s, and 4s, representing different, age cohorts or income cohorts. And it was different sort of, we've got some questions where we're asking people to say, rank order what they would like to move to. So that's going to require a different, some sort of coding, I suspect. And I don't know exactly how it's done because I left that to the expert. But I suspect that's the sort of thing that's going to need some sort of coding, not the questions, as you said, that use that 1 to 5 scale. That should be pretty simple. But the other questions will need some sort of number value assigned to the different answers somehow.
But I don't think we have a complicated survey in those ways. That's a matter of having a code book and knowing what the codes are for analyzing it.
And I don't know if this is going to help, but what I understood in my little layman's mind is that the SurveyMonkey was going to provide at least the numbers and the responses. And I don't know if that's what that is. Yeah, and so I don't know if that's going to be enough. And by the way, some of the hard copies, some of us are going to volunteer to actually input the hard copy information into the survey. So all of the responses will be in the SurveyMonkey. And then the SurveyMonkey, and I'm looking at Sarah, who knows more about the SurveyMonkey, will tally up all the responses for all the questions, and we'll have those SurveyMonkey answers. So I'm not sure if that would help, and at least looking at the picture. And if that's the case, do we wait to have that before? Well, I shouldn't say wait. We can then, if we think that's what's going to be helpful, we can then use the RFP to say that once we look at all these numbers, Barbara, if I'm hearing it correctly, then we sort of frame what the research questions are or what specific, I don't know. So I guess what I'm saying is, and you raise a good question, thank you, but I'm saying, do we then, we draft the specificity of the scope of services and with the assumption we're going to look at those numbers. I guess that's what I'm
asking. Yeah, I mean, I think that what I would say is I think that what Lydia said, we can draft that.
Okay.
But minus that they're going to be doing data entry. And then
before
you ever send it out, we will have looked at the numbers, which then we can tweak and fine tune what we've come up with as a draft by putting in that specificity. But I think, yes, we should be working on exactly what you're saying and what you're offering to do.
Perfect. Yeah.
SurveyMonkey will provide us with an Excel spreadsheet that has everybody's answers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then that sounds like a good sign. So I like that idea. And so Lydia, if you can work on that section, it sounds like that's still going to be needed and helpful. So thank you. And then, so we'll call anybody else who has any thoughts about that scope, please submit it to Sarah. And as I said, we'll try to put it all together for review for the next board meeting. The next committee meeting is on December 15th. But I do want to touch upon one other topic because I apologize, we're going to have to cut our meeting, I know, at about short, but I want to finalize the the next scheduled meeting date, not December, but January, because, and Dan, I don't know if you want to elaborate. Dan is going to have some conflict issues on meetings starting January and the future. He has some other commitment that's coming up that some of the meetings for him are going to be hitting on the second Tuesday of every month. So
Wednesday.
I'm sorry. I don't know why I said Tuesday, but Wednesday. And so the question then becomes is, he's asking, can we reschedule our, instead of meeting on a second Wednesday of the month, can we meet on some other day that, and so I told him we would look at that. But before we do, I also asked Sarah to look at what the village schedule is to accommodate the meetings that we have. So we have other commission meetings as well. So Sarah, what are the options if we look at an alternate date other than the second of Wednesday?
So the other availability that we would have would be the first and fourth Tuesday or the first Wednesday. And what I can do is send out a doodle poll and see, you know, what dates work best for everyone. And
there. And that's fine too, because again, Dan is available on the December 15th, our next meeting, which is the second Wednesday. His request is for starting on January. So we don't have to make this decision. Yeah. So
December 15th is the third Wednesday.
Oh.
In December. December 8th is the second Wednesday. And I just told them based on your email that we were meeting on the 15th and I could do the meeting on the 8th.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. Is there a reason for
that? That's my mistake. I put the wrong.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Because you normally we do meet on the 8th. That's why it threw me off. I'm like, I just assumed the 15th was the second Wednesday. But so the next meeting is the 8th of December.
Oh, right? No.
Okay. So
is it
possible? Is there a village conflict if we did do the 15th?
That's a question. Can everybody, well, it's check. Sarah, is there a conflict at the village hall? No?
Not that I can tell. No.
Okay. So it looks like there won't, well, at least there won't be a conflict at the village hall. So that's a good sign. How about everybody here? Let me look real quick. And I believe the answer is going to be okay, but let me just check because if I don't want to jinx it. No, I'm also free. So so is everyone free on the 15th? I just want to confirm.
Roll call?
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, I was looking for heads. Well, let me put it this way. Does anybody, is there
I anyone? Cannot. I'm not available on the 15th.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. Okay. All right. So that's a big problem. Well,
I told them based on what was sent to us that I'd be available on the 8th.
Okay.
It's the big presentation to the city council committee.
Okay. Well, now I'm looking at, okay, let's do this. Sarah, you said the first or the fourth of a Tuesday.
I can send out a doodle poll for.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Okay, why don't we do that for December then as well? I thought we had December nailed up, but okay.
Out here, he's got an HPC meeting coming.
Okay, so why don't we do a doodle then for December, and then, you know what, Sarah, do it for December, then do it for January, knowing that January will be for the rest of the year. So we may look at December's meeting separately from January, which will be for 2022, if that makes sense. Okay. All right.
Thank you.
And so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved. Okay. Second.
All right. So we have Lydia and then we have Dan. And then a roll call, please, Elijah. Yes.
Chairperson Vasquez?
Yes.
Oh, Committee Member Lauber?
Yes.
Committee Member Frederick?
Yes.
Committee Member Flanagan?
Yes.
Committee Member Manning?
Yes.
Committee Member Murrell?
Yes.
Committee Member Kwan?
Yes.
I think we got everybody. Okay. So thank you all for all your time, and look forward for the next meeting. One, please fill out the doodle as soon as you can.
Happy Thanksgiving to everyone.
Yes.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Take care.
Okay. Good luck.
Bye-bye.